Blog Talk Radio.
Before the show, I'm going to cough in their ears and they're going to like it.
Girl, the way I feel today.
Let me just tell y'all, that Good Folks game, oh man, I am so addicted. I am addicted. Oh my God. You guys, that's just a preview of your review. Oh, because I love it. I haven't asked Snow if she likes it, but I love it. Except for that one little bitch that don't like fish soup. You will eat it. You will like it.
Ew.
Hey, you can't choose if you're on the farm.
Yes, I can. Ew. I'm hungry.
Yeah. Well, you gotta eat what's on the farm. It's either that or just vegetables. It seems to me some of the characters have backstories. I need to figure out what's going on. One of them seems to be a fugitive. I don't know if we want him on the farm. He might hurt somebody.
I know. You see, like, in APB, I found out that there's the whole backstory, and oh my God.
Yeah, because yesterday she was reading the wiki.
I poured over that wiki. Oh, that was so good. That was so good. They so turned that into some fan art, like, stories. Fan fiction. There we go. Fan fiction.
Well, you know, fan fiction is passé.
I don't care.
You know what, EA? I'm going to need for you all to stop teasing us and just give us the SimCity. Come on now. Ugh.
No, they're going to push it back. They're going to push it back.
They are. They keep putting up things saying, want to see what the screen is, and it's all blurred. My eyes are all trying to focus. Like, what is it? No.
Well, that's no good.
Yeah. All right, you know, In case you missed it last night, you were not in on the fun. There were a lot of you there. Thank you for dropping by. We had Miss Trixie360 on. We were doing some Microsoft bashing. It was ugly.
Nice.
It was ugly. To you who just asked me, can you do something? No, you cannot. You know who you are. No.
But you can do it.
No, he cannot.
Do
no.
It. Do it.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. I overrun Corey. Do it.
Interesting you should use those words.
Definitely do it.
No.
Do it.
No. Oh my God, this is the prettiest wedding picture. Okay, it has nothing to do with gaming, but it's the dress. Man, I gotta learn how to make clothes in Second Life. I would be making this dress right now. It is gorgeous from Wishing Tree Designs. You guys didn't know I was stalking you now. I stalk a lot of people that have nothing to do with gaming. Well, I can turn it into something gaming.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's Friday. We're starting off a weekend, and we need a weekend
juice?
Bish. I'm going to say bish. It's not the other word. It's B-I-S-H. But y'all know what I mean.
Yep.
All right. Mackle.
Make me knock my teeth out with my coffee cup just then. Damn it.
Michael Pachter, you are now on the most hated list. Yes, you are. Michael Pachter. Multiplayer. Anybody know who that name is? Well, he says Activision should charge a fee for Call of Duty Multiplayer. Yeah, Swedish securities industry analyst Michael Pachter made some comments during the Digital Game Monetization Summit in San Francisco, California. During his presentation, he said that Activision made a serious mistake when it didn't implement a subscription-based model for Call of Duty Multiplayer. He says, I know the game sells billions of dollars. Activision did a bad thing with Call of Duty from a profit perspective. They trained gamers that you can buy a game and play it all year, 10 hours a week, forever. 10 hours? That's playing only 10 hours.
what kind of gamer are you? 10 hours? Not really? Wait. Hell, that's one day for me.
No kidding. That you can play 10 hours a week forever and you never have to pay again. You just wait for the next Call of Duty. I promise you there are plenty of people, numbering in the millions, who play one game, which is Call of Duty, and they never stop. Mr. Pachter, who apparently has no idea what the hell he's talking about, talks out his ass, says, went on to compare the Call of Duty franchise's multiplayer to other games that Activision does not charge for, like World of Warcraft. That's just like the people who play World of Warcraft and never stop. Yet the World of Warcraft guys are paying $180 a year, and the Call of Duty guys are paying $60. So who's got a better model? This multiplayer thing being free was a mistake. I don't think anybody ever envisioned it would be this big. It's a mistake because it keeps these people from buying and playing other games. Do you know us at all? That is not the only game we play. Most gamers that I know play at least two or three games. Call of Duty players I know play several different games. Mr. Pachter, you are a tool. Please sit down and shut up.
Idiots should be seen and not heard.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
I know, right? He went on to say that Activision will not make the same mistake with the game Bungie is working on, currently codenamed Destiny, which he believes will be subscription-based. Activision is going to try it, because they're greedy pigs and they're bold. Later in his talk, he says that Activision will likely go into acquisition mode and try to buy a big publisher like Take-Two Interactive. He also said that the company should buy social games maker Zynga. Were they serving alcohol at this time?
I believe they were, and he had a nice healthy dollop because the BS you were coming up with is, oh man, just stop, Pachter, just stop.
Yeah, Pachter, oh my God, and he's not even finished. Talking about the Wii U, he says Wii U will not see much support beyond what it had at launch from game developers. I don't think we're going to see every game on the Wii U next year. I think when next-gen consoles come out, they're going to be better than the Wii U. Mr. Pachter, if you were in stabbing reach, I would stab you in the eye with a hot fry right now.
Why a fry?
I figured it was less lethal than a pencil.
I was thinking a hot crochet needle because that's what I have on my desk. Mm-hmm. I can just stab and hook, just pull the entrails out of the eye. I mean...
Next time this idiot stands up and starts to talk, somebody reach over with a roll of duct tape and shut him up.
I can't.
Look, you are fail. You're not a geek. You haven't got the faintest clue what a gamer is, what we're into, how many games we play, or even what we're playing or why we play. So sit down, shut up, and no, just sit there and look pretty.
I don't even know what to say to him. He really needs to... Go away, Pachter. Go away. You know, well, okay, on the one hand, yes, you are free to make your predictions. But when you start saying we need to charge more money, the games are too expensive already. That's part of the reason why some people play World of Warcraft, because they can buy it for $39.99 and then pay $10, $12 a month and continue to play. It's not so hard on the pockets, especially if that's the only game you play. They're still, in some cases, spending a lot less than most gamers out there. $180 for a year? This game spent that one time at the store. If you bought Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed, you already have spent what the people playing World of Warcraft have spent for a year time to play. So, no, that's not a good comparison. Idiot. Pachter, keep your mouth shut. All right. Our frenemy Takataku has some interesting news this morning.
What they got?
007 Legends developer have let all of its staff go today. That's right. We said all those bitches were fired. All of them.
Oh, ooh.
Whoa!
Oh, that's no good.
The company made the remaining 42 of its previously 150 staff members redundant after 25 years of development history. That's also according to Eurogamer. When you get through all the legal business terms and it comes down to UK-based developers not having enough money to stay afloat, or at least that particular one, because some are doing extremely well, They do hope at least to keep their doors open as a specialist software business, but their time as game developers, they're saying, have come to an end. Eurocom leaves behind a legacy of many licensed franchises ranging from James Bond titles to Harry Potter. Yeah, they were the one that made the Harry Potter games. They are best known for the most recent titles, 007 Legends, GoldenEye 007 Reloaded, and GoldenEye 007 for the Wii. Wow.
I don't know.
It's an interesting question being asked. What happens to the money now when somebody buys a game?
I know, right?
Because, you know, they're still out there floating around. I've often wondered that, especially with these games would have done extremely well had these people not all been arrested for slave labor or something. There was a sect of DS games that came out that taught you how to speak another language, and they were better than the Rosetta Stone, and it only cost you $39.99. And so you would take this little game, and it would start teaching you the words and the language the same way they teach kids, you know. You start off with your kindergarten level words and things that you should know, your colors, and then they would drill you on them. Like, it would have games that you would play that would, you know, have you switch between, you know, English and whatever that language is. Like, you know, the color for French is red, so they show you something red and say, what is it? And then they give you all of the words, French and English, and then you'd have to pick. They say, "What, you know, what's this in English?" You, of course, pick red. What's it in French? Then they'd show you the word and say, pick the color. You know, all this stuff that gets your brain to switch. You know, cool stuff that teaches you how to speak the language. But they ended up getting, the company ended up getting closed because they were doing the same thing Apple's doing. They were using slave labor. And those games are still floating around. And it's not just French. It's pretty much every language, almost every language in existence. I've seen Japanese, Chinese. And you know how hard those two languages are to learn. And then there's the French, there's the German, the Spanish, the Italian. And I said, I wonder what happens to that money when somebody buys those.
I do wonder. It's got to go in somebody's pocket.
I don't know whose pocket it's going into, but if they're still floating around, you know, well, the games are still floating around, those people are making money. Once people realize that there's a little thing that'll teach you to speak another language, you know, way cheaper than Rosetta Stone. And not just teach you to speak the language, by the way, guys. It also has a part of it where, like, if you were to go to said country, say you go to Italy, and you're trying to ask, you've not quite gotten up on your language yet, but maybe you want to know where the Versace store is, and you would speak into it and say, where is the Versace store, and then it would translate it, and then it would repeat it back to you, and you record your voice so that you could get the dialect, the sound, everything proper to match the, you know, the way it's supposed to be spoken, and then you walk over to somebody and say, you know, whatever it is in Italian, and then they could understand you. And they could also take it and write directions and things in it for you, and it would save you, or it would translate it from whatever language to English. It's a badass little program, but again, it would have been so rich. But I have the one French copy. That's what Baby Matrix uses to learn her French. Amazing, amazing little thing you carry around in your purse, very small. So who's getting that money? Because I want to know. Can I siphon some of it? Because we just gave y'all a big plug. I can't remember your name. Sensory Sweep. Right. That's the name of it, Sensory Sweep. Go look them up on Wikipedia. It'll tell you what happened to them as soon as they put those games out. All right. Is it my turn?
No. I think it's your turn. I think.
Okay, tag.
All right. It's Snow of Canada. We, Minnie, missing quite a few core features to keep the cost low. Nintendo of Canada Communications Director Matt Ryan talks about the Wii Mini. How the Wii Mini lacks important features such as GameCube backwards compatibility and online connectivity because the firm wanted to keep the cost low so that families and non-core gamers could afford the device. Nintendo announced a pared-down Nintendo Wii recently as being only for Canada and set a suggested retail price of $29 at Canadian money. Fake Monopoly money. Anyways, because we want the system to be as affordable as possible to everybody and the widest audience possible by taking out functionality that allows us to keep the cost down. There's a consumer out there. There are gamers who have not bought a Wii yet, and there are gamers who have a Wii and want a second one for the cottage or the chalet or whatever. Who has a cottage or chalet?
I want to know who that is, too. Is it a chalet?
I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy the real damn Wii.
The full version.
No kidding, he says. These people don't actually need the online functionality, so we basically stripped all the online functionality down. And the end result is cost savings for the person buying Wii Mini at $99. Ryan went on to say that the system is specifically designed for families, suggesting that the Wii and Wii U are not casual devices at all. Forget that your grandparents and your mom and your dad may have been using the Wii to play games like Wii Fit and Wii Sports. Yeah. All right, so anyways, on one hand, I see the benefit of the Wii Mini because, you know, you could put that in a kid's room. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you could let your little kid play that and not worry about who they're talking to because they're not talking to anybody.
They can't.
So I kind of like this idea. But, you know, if I've got Chalet, and I'm probably saying that wrong.
No, you're saying it right. It's Chalet.
But if I've got Chalet, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some kind of internet. So you tear down Wii.
Some kind. If I had a Chalet, I'm having Fios. I got Fios I had specially brought out to me. I will pay the extra money because if you can afford a Chalet, you've got money. And I'm not talking about renting it for the summer, those of you who are talking about, I have a Chalet. No, just because you go there and you pay some rent for a month to stay there, it is not yours. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I can honestly tell you that will not be getting a regular Wii. And yes to you there who's asking on Twitter, yes, they fired all of them, Horace, every single one of them. They are jobless. They will come over here and take our jobs.
Why? Why? They took our jobs.
They took our jobs.
Why right here at Christmas are you firing people? What is wrong with you, Scrooges? Come on.
Girl, you know. All right, Nintendo, everybody's mad at them.
It's just about your karma, dude.
This is true. All of those of you who are mad at Nintendo, hey, this is one thing they are definitely doing right. They are blocking 18-plus rated Wii U shop content, eShop content, at certain times.
Yes.
That's right. Y'all do that, Nintendo. Do that. Nintendo of Europe, specifically, because, you know, here in the U.S., we gripe about it, but we don't do anything about it. They're blocking access to 18-rated content on the Wii U eShop at certain times of the day, their system messages are suggesting. Users are unable to access trailers for 18-rated Wii U games or even buy 18-related content. This is also considered an issue because some of us are over 18. We want to watch. A NeoGAF user experienced this particular issue and contacted Nintendo of Italy's customer support. The rep responded back, "Dear customer, we would like to let you know that Nintendo has always aimed to offer gameplay experiences suited to all age groups, observing carefully at all the relevant regulations regarding content across access that is present in various European countries and territories. Since we have thus decided to restrict the access to content which is unsuitable for minors, Peggy, P-E-G, remember that, to 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. time window." Eurogamer, of course, tested this, and it's true according to them, and said they were unable to access Assassin's Creed through information or buy Zombie U digitally during that time period. And the message reads, "You cannot view this content. The times during which this content can be viewed have been restricted. The messages appear for user accounts on which no parental controls have been set." Very nice. I know it's annoying to some of you, but I have to applaud them for doing something. Very nice. If you don't like it, go ahead and set your parental controls there, people.
Yes.
And in the U.S., we really need to do the same thing because some little people shouldn't be watching things. Of course, we don't have to worry about it on Xbox because it's such a mess. Even baby next year's kidding fine adult content even if she wanted to.
That's no kidding. But neither can anybody else.
Yeah, neither can anybody else. So you're pretty much safe on Xbox. But I like that they stepped up and did something that they're supposed to do. And we've been saying that for the longest time. PlayStation, come along. Y'all need to block some access to some things. Gosh, I don't know why people are upset. Would you be upset, Ginger?
I don't know. I'm not. Yeah. It depends. I mean, I don't really play R18.
Well, anything. No, you do play, but it's not the same rating system here. But your APBs and obviously the equivalent
okay.
M rating.
Yeah.
But would you be upset if you know you were up at 3 o'clock in the morning and let's say you didn't have it or you got a new computer? You said, "I think I'm gonna download my APB," and they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry, this is 18+ content. You can't download this at this time of the night."
I would think 3 o'clock in the morning would be the perfect time to allow for that.
Well, you know why? Because little people are very industrious. They will get up while mom and dad are sleeping and then go and look at this content. And, of course, mom and dad are not watching. So I understand the why. I just
there is a way to get past that, right? If you like set some kind of adult controls or whatnot.
Yeah, they're saying it only does that when you don't have parental controls turned on. So they're basically
I already have parental controls turned on, so I won't have that issue.
Yeah, they're basically forcing parents to parents, saying if you don't like it when you're up and you're trying to get on Netflix and watch your dirty porn on the Wii U.
Is there porn on the Netflix?
Girl, you know, Wii was already Wi-Fi out of the box. They never had any of their flash issues, any of that. They were the first ones to have Netflix. So if you were deciding to watch something dirty, and I don't know if there's porn on Netflix, but I'm pretty sure that movie 9.5 Weeks is there, and that counts as porn.
All right.
If you're not going to parent, we're going to, you know, and you want us to do it for you, this is what we've done. We're blocking the access to little people, and if you don't like it, you need to go in and fix the controls. Now, what's going to be messed up is some kid's going to get smart, and they're going to put the parental controls on for their parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My parents are going to be angry up trying to watch your porn.
Well, you do it originally when it comes out of the box. You set it up. You set up the parental controls. They're easy. It doesn't take 2 minutes. It's just make sure you set the code to something the kid's not going to know. So, you know, like the date you lost your virginity or the first time you and your husband
who remembers
wife, whatever
that?
It is, such.
Who remembers that?
I've got a girlfriend who does. I'm just like, wow, really?
Oh, wow. I'm a reserve comment.
The first name of the guy, but about it.
Wait, do I remember? Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't like him to begin with. Anyway,
I just did it out of peer pressure. I was like, might as well get this over with.
It wasn't even peer pressure. I was like, you know what? I don't like you. I think after this, then I don't have to worry about seeing you again, right? I don't need to see you after this. Okay, good. Let's do this.
Nice.
I got another story, Ginger. I got another story because it's juicy.
All right, well, then you do it. The next thing I'm going to do is about a company I don't like.
Uh-oh. Speaking of Netflix and pornography, Netflix chief exec Reed Hastings, of course, he's often praised for his ability to cut through the jargon and communicate information about his company clearly and not always through traditionally recognized channels. But apparently the staff of the Securities and Exchange Commission does not agree and is recommending that it take action against both Netflix and Hastings for violating disclosure regulations. According to new SEC filing that was released just today, regulators are taking issue over a message Hastings sent in July about Netflix users watching over 1 billion hours on the streaming video service during the previous month. According to VentureBeat, while the company's stock did receive a 20% increase after the news was communicated on Facebook, Hastings said that wasn't the purpose of his message. Here's his response from the SEC document. SEC staff questions a Facebook post, fascinating social media story, says we use blogging and social media, including Facebook, to communicate effectively with our public and our members. In June, we posted on our blog that our members are enjoying nearly 1 billion hours per month of Netflix, and people wrote about this. We did not also issue a press release or 8K filing about this. In early July, he says, I publicly posted on Facebook to over 200,000 of you who subscribed to me that our members had enjoyed over 1 billion hours in June, highlighting how strong our content was. There was press coverage as there are so many reporters and bloggers among you, my public followers. Some of you reposted my post. Again, we did not issue a press release or file an 8K about this. He said SEC staff informed us yesterday that they are recommending that the SEC bring a civil action against us for my July 1 billion hour public post, asserting we violated Reg FD. This rule is designed to ensure that individual investors have equal access to information as a large institutional investors by prohibiting selective disclosure of material information. The SEC staff believes that I gave you all material investor information in my post, and we needed to release the June viewing fact publicly with an 8K filing or press release. You know what, SEC? Stupid.
Yes, it definitely does sound a little bit stupid.
Stupid, nitpicky.
Nitpicky. I haven't heard anybody say that in a while.
It's very nitpicky. Who cares if they didn't release a press release, obviously, and it's public information. Anybody could subscribe to the group. Do you know what? A judge is going to throw this out. Whatever. Mm-hmm. See, stop it. What are you trying to get?
Stop being dumb.
Trying to get money.
Mm-hmm. All right, winter weekends from RuneScape.
Woo!
Yay, that game that I love to hate on. The other game that I love to hate on. As part of our ongoing winter celebrations, this weekend will be another winter weekend. This weekend's promotion is all about mini games. Each of the following games will have out double the rewards when played over the weekend. So what do we have? We have Castle Wars. awards double the usual points at the end of the game. Soul Wars awards double the usual zeal at the end of the game. Trawler awards double the usual numbers of fish, and thus double the XP that would normally be gained for catching these fish. Pest Control award double the usual points at the end of a game. Big Chinchampa awards double the usual competence points. Evil Tree awards double the usual item rewards. And Shooting Star awards double the usual item rewards. So whether you're a RuneScape veteran looking to take advantage of the double rewards, or someone fresh to RuneScape, oh please God don't be, looking for something new to get your teeth into, this weekend is a perfect opportunity to try something a little different. All right, so this weekend of Minigames Madness runs from Saturday the 8th of December, from midnight until Sunday the 9th of September at 23:59. No, there are other MMOs that are much, much better, and they're free, okay? Just know.
All right. Apple co-founder Steve Wozniak says he hopes the new iPhone... Wait a minute. Is this a news story y'all sent me? Because y'all are good for doing that. No! See, you have to look sometimes. What is going on with you people sending the old stuff over? Mm-hmm. You don't even want to know how old that was. All right. Let me go to a different story. Ha, ha, ha. Y'all got there. Y'all caught the Corey slipping. Y'all caught me. All right. Those of you who are playing Halo 4, you're in good company. Halo 4 sold 3.4 million here in the U.S. Mm-hmm. During November only, according to NPD sales data leaked by analyst firm Cohen & Company. The title was the second biggest boxed game in the region during the month, with Activision's Call of Duty Black Ops 2 topping the charts with 7.5 million units. Assassin's Creed also performed well, shifting 2.9 million units, while further down the sales chart was EA's Need for Speed Most Wanted, selling 509,000 units. The numbers follow data last night that showed the U.S. box game business was down 11% to $2.55
billion. Oh, no.
Nice. Oh, and that one was short, so I got another bit of news for y'all. Breaking news! You waiting on
BioShock?
You're breaking on. You're waiting on BioShock Infinite. It's delayed.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, let me tell you when it's been delayed. First of all, in a post on the Irrational Games blog, designer Kevin Levine said that the game has been pushed to March 26th to squeeze in a few more weeks of polishing and bug fixing. I'm not mad at you. The game has previously been set for a February 26th debut, but this delay pushes it to the brink of publisher Take-Two Interactive's fiscal year, which ends on March 31st, with Max Payne 3 and Special Ops The Line falling short of expectations. Take-Two's fiscal year is heavily dependent on the sales of Borderlands 2, NBA 2K13, and BioShock Infinite. While the publisher never officially announced Grand Theft Auto 5 for release in the current fiscal year, it apparently had factored the Rockstar game into its expectations when Take-Two confirmed in October that GTA 5 would be hitting next fiscal year. It also slashes expectations for the current year by about a third. I was hoping that I would be rolling over people by the end of the year in GTA 5, and I gotta wait.
I know. You've been so looking forward to it, and they just keep.
And BioShock. I'm not sure if I'm excited about BioShock. BioShock's one of the few games I say that actually scares me. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the point where I can't play it scares me. I might be better here. I don't have a back door that's behind my couch this time, so I might be okay. That was what used to scare me. There's always like shadows and things outside. And all my windows are in places I can see, and I know I'm up high, so I should be in a very good place.
Yeah.
I might try to play this weekend. Maybe next season I may try to dip into some BioShock later. And Horace wants to know when are you going to play Left 4 Dead? He says he found a copy, Ginger.
Maybe this weekend? Oh.
We had not planned, because see, sometimes when we make plans with people named Horace,
oh right,
they don't show, or they come up and they're playing Transformers the game. Yes, he plays Transformers the game. I am talking about you.
All right, so McAfee, he's back in the news. You heard about this crazy ape of a man software
with him.
He's an idiot is what he is. Software company founder John McAfee was hospitalized Thursday after being denied political asylum in Guatemala. and his lawyers said they were making a last-ditch effort to keep him from being flown back to Belize for questioning about killing a fellow American expatriate. McAfee told the Associated Press that he had suffered chest pains overnight, but didn't believe he had suffered a heart attack. A government doctor who examined him agreed, saying McAfee's heart rhythm and blood pressure were normal, and he appeared to be suffering from high stress, possibly also from withdrawals from, you know, not having bath salts. A police-run hospital Thursday afternoon after Guatemalan authorities said McAfee's request for asylum had been denied. They did not explain why. Could be because he killed somebody. Oh, and he's hopped up on
allegedly.
Shortly after the decision was announced, McAfee issued a plea on his blog for the public to petition Guatemalan President Otto Perez Molina to let him stay. You know what? I'm gonna make a petition against that.
Aww.
Please email the president of Guatemala and beg him to allow the court system to proceed to determine my status in Guatemala, and please support the political asylum that I'm asking for. Yes, because that's what they want, is a druggie in their country. McAfee's legal team said they were preparing to appeal the denial of asylum to the country's Congress. It could give McAfee perhaps another day or two in Guatemala. The court would have to issue a decision within 48 hours. McAfee also began complaining of chest pain, prompting authorities to prepare to move him from the immigration center where he had been held overnight. Anyways, he's faking it, people. Come on. Send him back to Belize. Let him stand trial. If he killed a guy, he killed a guy. If he didn't, well, then he didn't. In the meantime, he is a drugged up, on bath salt zombie dude.
Why? All right, Mr. Russell Simmons is dipping his toe in the gaming water again. I don't know what to think of this. Def Jam's Russell Simmons, or founder Russell Simmons, has expanded his empire into mobile development with incubator and multi-platform dev studio Green Rocks Ventures. He said entertainment is what resonates the quickest with youth, which today means online and mobile activities based on broad affirming data, of course, and while continuing to be the driving force to reach youth worldwide. The first game will be aimed at children under the age of 13 and have an educational value, but Simmons also plans to expand the brand into television and theater. Really? Mission G-Rock will allow kids to exercise their creative muscles by combining storytelling, music, math, and science. The new venture is just one of the many media-filled pies that Simmons has a finger in. The businessman, named the third richest person in hip-hop last April, also owns clothing brands like Fat Farm, and his business, Rush Communications Properties, includes MTV's Runs House and the game Def Jam Rap Star, which was supposed to be awesome but just did not do very well. Was that the one where you DJ? Oh, you know what? I might be wrong about that. I really think, Mr. Simmons, that you are a brilliant man. I do watch a few episodes of your reality show, but please stay out of our yard, really. This is not your yard. Because
not your yard. Get out of our yard.
Because clearly, if you were going to make a game, if you wanted to make tons of money, you should have taken your clothing experience and made me and Ginger a game like we used to play with the Pop Sugar, and given me some simulator capabilities where I can hire and fire people and keep an eye on the bottom line of the store and order the clothes and cast the models in a walk, you know, runway, all that stuff, based off of what you've done with your clothing line. I would have bought that. I don't want to play anything about. I don't even know what he's doing. I don't even know what the games are supposed to be about. You gotta, you can't focus on the youth because the youth don't buy the games. The mamas do.
Exactly. Man, I want some Pop Sugar back.
They're still around. They just got rid of their game. I think we are on Pop Sugar somewhere.
The game was awesome. I loved that game. My little store.
I gotta admit, it didn't have a whole lot of depth, but I did like it. The ordering the stuff and the store decoration is what got me building the store.
Yes, I loved it. I loved it.
That's my second thing. Second thing I like to do is build stuff. Oh man, we'll find another one, Ginger. Don't worry. Or you could just come and play Good Folks with me.
No.
Come on, they got one girl. All she eats is apple pie. I'm telling you, it's hilarious.
No.
And you know what? I'm not going to. You know what? I will give this part away. You know where they have got me, really? Is that there was something that a lot of developers have been afraid to do when they make a quote-unquote supposedly casual game, is give you a lose condition. Your animals die, your people die if they don't eat.
Oh, no.
You said, oh, no, but that's what I like. I like that. That's what makes it fun. That's what forces you to have to keep up with the game, because otherwise I'm just clicking trying to get corn. Zenga, I'm looking at you.
Breaking Bad of Belize. I like that.
Taurus bad. And I am not playing Fall of Cybertron.
No. All right, Facebook puts new restrictions on game developers. Facebook is dramatically changing the rules on what developers can and can't have access to when they develop games for its platform. The new policy changes on dating sharing, access to Facebook features, and pushing users to third-party websites are designed to force game developers to actually create content for Facebook and not other platforms like iOS or Android. Prior to these changes, developers could access Facebook's Open Graph on other platforms once a player logged into Facebook. This would give developers access to features like the Facebook Friends list on other platforms. That will no longer be allowed as developers are strictly prohibited from accessing the Open Graph outside of Facebook. Facebook is also removing options that allow developers to push users from the social network to outside websites. I don't know what to think about this. I guess we'll see. The changes in policy do not apply to non-gaming apps. Facebook is really, really, really trying to make themselves a gaming platform, aren't they?
You can't be a gaming platform where you don't have anything to put your games on other than a webpage.
Okay.
If the internet's down, you can't play the game. That's not a gaming platform. When my internet's down, I can still get on my PC, my Xbox, my DS, my Wii, and still play. If you can't be played without the internet, you're not a gaming platform.
I know.
You're just a webpage. Sorry, Facebook. Don't get me wrong. I love you, but let's be realistic.
Well, that one was short, so I'm going to do another one if you don't mind.
No, Furby. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Furby.
Don't ask me why. I just saw it and I said Furby.
Don't feed them after midnight and don't put them in water.
Why didn't they make a gremlin Furby? Just saying.
No, right? Oh, that'd be awesome.
I would buy him. I want him.
Okay, so yesterday we talked about Activision and developer Vicarious Visions had been working on Guitar Hero 7. A report from Kotaku today is citing an anonymous source close to the situation that says the game was a hot mess and overly ambitious. The source describes the development of Guitar Hero 7 as a disaster before it was canceled in 2011, hindered by the use of a new and complex controller design and other ideas that were considered bad by Activision because the game focused too heavily on staying within a budget. The game had all of the worst hits from the 1990s. They realized with our lack of budget and time, they couldn't get quality music, so they bought bargain basement music like Closing Time and Sex and Candy. There were some songs in there that had been used at least 3 times in the Guitar Hero franchises before.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The source also said that the developer's big ambitions and a change to the guitar peripheral added to the troubles. The amazing thing was a 6-string guitar. Not a real guitar or even a full 6-string. It has the classic Guitar Hero's buttons on the neck with one extra new button and 6 strings where the strum bar used to be. Yay! Now they have an extra button and 5 more strum bars! Strings of neck types were unresponsive and loose, and the guitars cost a fortune to make. No one could figure out a way to make it, so your average Joe could buy one. About halfway through the game's development, Activision president Eric Hirschberg pulled the plug on the game and watched it go down the drain. He's like, bye-bye. Adios.
Oh, I'm sorry. Joe and I are having a discussion about why we like simulators.
Oh. Joe likes them because, you know, he finds one of the simulated boobs.
No.
Hey, look. Bouncy boobs.
Well, no, we were discussing, you know, why you love simulators, because your actions impact the game. Although I think, Joe, if we could actually get Ginger to come out of APB, she would like it, because her actions in APB impact the game as well. So she would like simulators. She just doesn't know she does.
Yeah. I do love to run over some little ladies.
Mm-hmm. See? She knows. She doesn't know yet. She doesn't know. All right. We got some interesting going on, some new team-ups that I'm not sure how I feel about. EA is teaming up with Big Boy and B.O.B., and they're planning to bring their talents to the highly anticipated co-op action game Army of Two, The Devil's Cartel. The two stars are not only teaming up in the studio for the collaboration of the game's official theme song, Double or Nothing, which is set to release early next year, but they're also joining forces in the game. The duo will play the roles of Two, and that's T-W-O, it's an acronym, operatives Chewy Randall, Big Boy, and Anthony Baker Barnes, B.O.B., helping players blast their way through Mexico's most dangerous cartel. EA announced that fans who pre-order Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel, from participating retailers will also receive an exclusive Hitmakers kit. This kit will give players access to a one-of-a-kind two-contract mission that will allow them to play as Big Boy and B.O.B.'s characters, as well as custom masks and weapons and skins designed by the artists themselves. One of our primary goals with Army of Two, the Devil's Cartel, is to bring the feeling of watching an action blockbuster movie to the game, and adding that great theme song really helps set the right vibe. Also, like you're in the theater. That's from Julian Beek, who's the executive producer at Visceral Studios Montreal. And aside from a great song, Big Boy and B.O.B. also delivered outstanding performances that are really going to add to the story. B.O.B. is saying that he loves action games, and getting a chance to star in one is definitely something he's excited about. He says Army of Two Cartel has everything I'm looking for in a great game: intensity and huge explosions and destructions. Partnering with B.O.B. on the Army of Two Devil's Cartel theme song and inside the game has been a blast, and I can't wait to load it up, hear the song, and see myself in the game, said Big Boy. Big Boy, also known as Antoine and Andre Patterson, made history with Outkast from their debut album Southern Playalistic Cadillac Music in 1994. Oh my God, my head hurt. I remember that CD. Wow, stop. He was still just a teenager. Also to their 2003 swan song, Speaker Bowl, The Love Below, one of the highest-selling hip-hop albums in history, 11 times platinum in the U.S. and 15 million worldwide. It generated 3 Grammy Awards, Best Rap Album, Album of the Year, and spun off 2 life-changing hit singles. Of course, Andre 3000's Hey Ya, which we were singing just last week. Isn't that weird? Remember we were singing that before the show? And The Way You Move with Sleepy Brown, and his new album, Vicious Lies and Dangerous Rumors, which is due out December 7th. Hi, Evan. How do y'all make us just give y'all a free ad? Stop it! Okay, so Army of Two, Devil's Cartel, will be available March 26th. Yes, the same day as BioShock Infinite. You got to choose between the two. For your PlayStation 3, Xbox, and I don't see anything for PC, so you guys will probably have to wait and see how it does before they jump to that third platform, the Wii U as well. The product has not yet been rated by ESRB or PEGI, but you may go over to armyof2.com or to their Facebook page, Army of Two, and follow them, or on Twitter, at Army of Two. And I am trying to see if we can get a copy of this here song, because they're going on about how great it is, but we don't have a copy, y'all, over there at EA. You're sending us
stuff. Where's our game, yo? Where is our game?
Well, that's just the game, but we need a copy of the song. I'm going to need y'all to... Something.
Gimme. All right, so there's a charity drive going on this weekend. Speed Gamers are getting ready for their 72-hour Mario Marathon.
Ooh.
The Speed Gamers crew is preparing for another 72-hour Mario-related gaming marathon to help raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. The cool Texas-based marathon gaming group, the Speed Gamers, will immerse themselves in all things Mario starting at 7 p.m. Eastern on December 14th, playing for 72 hours straight. I'm sorry, so that's not this weekend, that's next weekend. They'll also be engaging in live-streamed antics to raise cash for a great cause. Viewers can donate pledges, engage the group in witty banter, and have a shot at winning some interesting prizes. The Speed Gamers group has already raised $59,000. I'm going to lose my voice, hold on. $59,324.36 for charity. When they did the 168-hour Pokemon Marathon in June. Oh, my God. 168 hours of Pokemon.
Oh, God, no. I can't do it. I can barely do one.
How many days is 168 hours? 72 hours is 3 days.
You made my head hurt.
It's like a week-long Pokemon Marathon that they did. Holy crap, people. Wow. But, I mean, that's a good cause. It's over at thespeedgamers.com if you want to go over and watch them, check it out, make a donation, all that great stuff. If you want to help out Make-A-Wish at their own website, you can head over to wish.org. Remember, you don't need a holiday or anything else to do it. You can do it any day of the week. Do it.
You know, I got to say, and I popped over to the Army of Two page because I wanted to see if they had a copy of the song. They do not have a copy of the song, but they have another one by B.O.B. And we got a woman in there, so y'all might win me over. I might play this one. It's very pretty, and it's a lot of co-op, which I love. ZQ77 and I are really – that's my co-op, buddy. If there's a game that's got co-op, we're doing it. I think we're going to have to institute, actually, a girls' night, sorry, guys, where we do margaritas and Xbox and co-op, just fun, because that's what we do anyway. We usually get drinks, and, of course, I'm evil when I drink, and then she's just hilarious when she drinks. I think, JoJo, this is right before we met you. We were playing a game one night, but every time she killed somebody, mm-hmm. she would yell out, "How you doing?" Or she'd do it just before she killed.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
And, again, this is for just big girls, you little girls listening. You don't drink and do anything. No drinking for you.
No drinking until, you know, you're at least 30.
Yeah, but I'm going to have to get together a little party over here and have a bunch of us drink and play. If you don't play Xbox, do not bring your friends that don't play games because they will be bored out of their minds.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear, "Oh, my God, this is what you guys did. This is so boring." Mm-mm.
I don't want to slap those people.
You stay home. Don't come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Exactly.
And no, Horace, you cannot come.
Horace, I personally invite you. You can be my plus one.
Right before I kick him down the stairs. Oh, you came with Ginger. Plus one? Bam! And then bam the door.
I'm sorry, Horace. I tried.
He's all right. There's a nurse that lives next door. He's good.
Nice.
She's pretty. She'll take you in. The horse is this fact. Oh, no. No, got to catch them all. No. Hey, Joe, by the way, did you get into SimCity, the beta? Did they let you in so I can start cussing? Because I'm mad.
I bet he got in.
I bet he did get in. No, he didn't. You know why? Because he would have told me. All right. So just so you all know, Sony is doing something. I don't know what's up with Sony. They are apparently, according to VentureBeat, testing a web-based PlayStation store for movies and games. Something is up. They launched.
No, ain't got nothing up.
I don't know. They launched a web-based version of its PlayStation Digital Media Store just today. They've not made an official announcement, but it's being called Sony Entertainment Network Store, SENS. Interesting. It's supposed to offer you a selection of movies, TV shows, and games. The digital pricing is supposed to be nearly identical to what's being offered on the in Sony's PlayStation console store, and you can pay via credit card, PayPal, or gift cards. Now, again, this is web-based. This is not via just your console, so any of us can pop over and do this, even if you don't have a PlayStation. All the content, look, get this. Oh, work, Sony, work. All the content that you purchase from the store is available across all Sony devices, including your PlayStation 3, your PSP, your Vita, and your laptop. Oh, that is so sexy.
Hotness right there. That's hot.
Sexy. The new store would appear to be still in testing mode and is supposed to be, of course, in direct competition to Microsoft's Xbox Media Store, and it should bring, they said, some new competition in the form of a boot to the face to iTunes and Amazon.
Yeah, baby.
But they're saying they're trying to see, will Sony be able to pull this off, because they're kind of late to the digital party, but... You just told me I can take some game. Man, my Infamous is going on to my PC right today. Right today, because I've been missing killing that guy, the one that sings the Mission Impossible theme when he's chasing me. That, dun, 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 dun. Oh, he is going down today, you and me. So just like, oh, he's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to go. He's got to go.
He's got to go.
I'm going over to PlayStation right now. You hear me typing PlayStation? PlayStation. Mm-hmm.
I like my PlayStation. All right. Crazy Vampires, an indie game for iOS, has been released for the App Store. Yay! CBE Software has released Crazy Vampires, an iOS Burton-esque game puzzler starring ignorant bobblehead vampires who desperately need your help and maybe your blood. Supported by Transylvanian Music, those silly non-glittery creatures... I wonder who they're poking at there. Will stumble into the closest trap unless you help them. In Lemmings, meet the Labyrinth Duel, meets the Reverse Tower Defense Spirits. The main objective is to save vampires by leading them safely through the labyrinth and into their crypts. To do so, players can rotate the labyrinth parts to create new paths, or use garlic-based repellent and spider net to slow or prevent the vampires from walking into peril. Many traps and obstacles, however, prevent their good day sleep, starting with a pure light. The list goes on with light reflecting mirrors, mobile wooden stakes, silver bullet guns. I thought those were just for, those furry creatures. Anyways, hired assassins or crazy garlic sappers, all of them trying to vaporize the poor bobbleheads. Make matters more complicated. I know, right? Vampires are so cute, they need to be coddled. Vampires come in three flavors, red, blue, or black, with their color determining their behavior. What looks like a deceiving simple game at start becomes a real brain challenge in more advanced levels. Alright, so it has over 12 hours gameplay on basic level, 20 hours to reach golden awards, 32 achievements, works for iPhone 4 Plus, iPad 2 Plus, and optimized for iPad 3 in a native high resolution. Alright, so again, this is for the App Store right now. Level unlock as well, a full version priced at $1.99. So I'm going to assume that they mean that the game costs $1.99. Oh, comes with a free version, Crazy Vampires HD comes with 12 levels and an additional 53 unlockable levels through an in-app purchase.
Nice.
Yay. So you get the first 12 levels free.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to give a hearty congratulations to IGF finalists, which I just posted on Twitter. Valve is going to offer each and every one of you a deal, guaranteed. Nice. In the past, the Independent Games Festival has led to distribution deals for honored games simply by raising their profile. This year, the connection will be a little bit more direct. According to GI.biz, the organizers of IGF today announced a deal with Valve that will see the company offer the finalists in the seven main competition categories a distribution agreement for the Steam storefronts on the PC, Mac, and Linux. Yay for you guys! The categories range from Salamis McNally Grand Prize to Nods for Excellence in Design, Narrative, Audio, and more. Each category will have a field of five finalists, except for the Esoteric and Abstract Game Nuovo Award, which will have eight. Valve isn't the only company looking to support the best of the IGF. For the second straight year, Microsoft Studios is also going to choose one of the main competition entries and offer it a guaranteed first-party publishing deal to launch on Xbox Live Arcade if it can be found, the Windows Phone, and or Windows. Last year's winner was Capybara Games' upcoming side-scroller shooter Super Time Force. Yeah. The 2013 IGF will take place March 27th. As in previous years, the award show is running in conjunction with the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco. A field of 588 games is currently vying for recognition in this year's main competition categories. I cannot wait to see what y'all do, because I love when they do the Independent Games Festival. We haven't gone yet, but I love it. Well, we don't get to go to the actual festival, but when they start putting them up online, these guys are amazing. Some of the games they come up with, I would give all of them a contract if we could, a deal, all of them, because they're just amazing games. You just do such a great job. Mm-hmm. The best of the best.
All right. Protect the City of Sky and a new MMO, Boom Sky? Yeah, Boom Sky. Sounds kind of neat. Whether flying alone or with a legion of friends, aerial combat MMO Boom Sky has something for everyone. Currently in an open beta, publisher InGames, the latest MMO, Boom Sky, gives players the freedom to experience and dominate the dreamy anime-inspired City of Sky in a variety of different ways. MMOs don't always have to be about bloodshed and steep learning curves. Boom Sky gives players the ability to explore the mysteries of the sky, of the City of the Sky, without the constant fear of death, thanks to an advanced newbie protection system that ensures new players only ever battle other players of a similar level. The browser-based aerial combat MMO levels the playing field by putting user skill at the forefront of battle. Every low-level player possesses the same starting abilities, while old-school keyboard controls mean victory is earned through being a good pilot, rather than by simply commanding an overpowered plane. I like that.
Did you say good pirate or pilot?
Pilot.
I like pirate better.
Yeah, we could be a pirate of the sky. Players can further their Boom Sky experience by joining a legion of other players at level 5. The City of Sky is packed with legions awaiting applications, but getting accepted is a matter of impressing the guild leaders. Pilots that are turned away can either look for another legion to join, or show the legion who's really boss by challenging them to an aerial duel. Whether joining a legion or choosing an adventure who adventure alone, Boomsky offers budding pilots the chance to become a true flying legend. Team leader Wario, really, is always on the player's side, a tough guy NPC who's able to shoot warplanes with deadly accuracy. But his use is limited, and he soon vanishes after his energy is depleted. Learning how to best use the warm blood supply and iron wall skills is the best way to survive. All right, so again, the game is free, and you can sign up over at boom.game321.com.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, I'm looking at the little sack boy. Did I say I know how to make him?
You know how to make him in, like, real life?
Yeah.
I want a sack boy.
You want a sack boy? Okay. I got to get some. Well, he might not be brown is the problem because I'm out of brown yarn. I'm sorry.
Okay.
He might be like purple or some crazy color.
That is fine by me.
He'll be a sack boy or a sack girl or a sack creature of some sort.
Yay, sack boy.
And the rest of you, if you want sack boy, you got to pay for him. Ginger gets him for free, but you got to pay for him because that hurts my fingers.
Neener, neener, neener.
He is so cute.
My finger earlier. It still hurts.
Your finger still hurts? What'd you do?
I pricked it.
Do we want to know what you were doing? Were you doing those blood ritual things again?
Sure.
Don't do that.
Every day, twice a day.
Every day. Are you calling down Cthulhu?
Yes, I am.
How about I just logged into some other email and lost my story? How about that?
Oh, no.
I'll share this with you, although I loathe to share it with you, and it'll be the last story before we go. Ubisoft has just announced Rayman Legends, if you like that game. Couldn't say that without... Whew, God, okay. I did, a dry heaved. Okay, so a demo of the game will be available through the Nintendo eShop on December 13th. A Wii U platformer, Rayman Legends, will launch in the UK on the 28th of February, according to Ubisoft. The game was originally due to arrive alongside the Wii U last week, but it was delayed for reasons unknown at present. A promised Rayman Legends demo has also failed to appear. Ubisoft has been unable to tell anybody why Rayman Legends. Like, they don't really have to, but sometimes we want to know. Rayman Legends takes the beautiful 2D platforming style of earlier outing Origins and adds in a new gamepad control scheme. Oh, God, I hate this game. The simplest level, this involves tickling enemies to incapacitate them or touching collectibles. Yeah, I thought I was going to say touching them, didn't you? Collectibles to double their value. Chris Donnelly wrote after a playtest earlier this year that he said as the game ramps up, you'll be moving ledges back and forth, slicing ropes to open up new parts of the environment, and even rolling Rayman and company through the giant tilted mazes by spinning complex wheels back and forth. Apparently, you do this also via your Wii U controller. It says it's mesmerizing to watch and nerve-trampling to actually take part in. Rayman Legends will launch at the start of a busy few weeks for Nintendo fans. March sees the release of 3DS game also Harmo Knight, Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, Castlevania,
Yay!
Lords of Shadow, Lords of Shadow, Mirror of Fate, plus Monster Hunter 3 also on 3DS and Wii U. So, busy, busy time. You have to decide if you want this game. Oh, God, I hate this game. Oh, it's not that it's a bad game. Y'all know why I hate it. I hate it. All right. It's almost time for us to go, Ginger.
I know. It's awesome, isn't it? It's going to be the weekend. We can start drinking.
Yeah. What?
What? What? Did you say nothing?
Yes, you did. What did you say, bad Ginger?
I said, isn't it great? We can start drinking.
Y'all see what I have to deal with? I do not drink. You know I will throw somebody out the window if I drink. Anyway, it's about that time for us to go. Hey, Ginger.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, I just wanted you to hear what I couldn't play for you because GLaDOS.
GLaDOS, let go.
GLaDOS like, no. She's like, no. And I heard it a minute ago. I was like, come on, GLaDOS. She's like, mm-mm.
And that is my song.
I'm sorry. She's not going to let me play it. Let's try it one more time.
Third time's the charm.
All right, you guys, over to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, New.GamerGirlsRadio.com, Facebook, Ginger's an APB. I'm throwing stuff on the farm. Noah's farming. Blaster's at his usual Team Fortress. And we have somebody new we'll be introducing to you, hopefully next week. Woot, 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 woot. Welcome him to the fray. like that. Make a dance with all on camera. I think you'll
oh, I like that
Gangnam Style. And you give him Gangnam kisses.